and welcome to the ball game. Number two, Rob.
Number two.
We've made it. We've got just getting everybody's levels right. I think we're okay. And welcome to Jack. Jack Larner into the studio. How are you going, Jack?
Good. How are you?
Very good. And a few things to talk about there at the moment. And Phil, back with us.
G'day, boys.
How are you going now, Willow? Gee, it's funny, we had him beautifully before. Can you get him all right or not?
Just
all right. Have another go now, and I think we've got it. That's good.
What about a real story? What about Mike Trout on a DL? What has that done to baseball?
Tell me about it.
He's torn his thumb ligament, sliding in head first, and he's on the DL. He's having the best year of his life, and he's already won two MVPs. Can you imagine that at the age of 25?
It's not bad, is it?
And he's on the DL for 6 to 8 weeks, so...
Well, it's just another thing to tick off.
What's behind that, do you reckon? Anything particular, or just one of those things?
Sorry, say that again.
Why do you reckon he's on the DL?
Why he's on the DL? He's on a disabled list.
Yeah. What actually happened?
Oh, he tore his ligament in his thumb.
Okay.
Hitting the ball too hard.
head first dive into second base on a steal. And tore a ligament in his thumb. So tore the UCL, the same ligament you tear in your elbow when you have Tommy John, but that also goes down into your thumb, into your hand through your thumb, and he tore that. So it's 6 to 8 weeks, and I think the baseball world is mourning that loss for that 6 to 8 weeks, having the season that he is, or obviously the All-Star Games coming up.
Yeah.
He's having one of the best starts to a season ever. Well on track for his third MVP. And it'll be interesting to see how people view it if he does miss the full 8 weeks or any more. If he still does win an All-Star spot, unlikely he would play, but he would still potentially get the top votes or up there. And then to see what happens with the MVP voting, because he will miss a critical part and the Angels are probably going to suck without him. We'll have to wait and see.
One of the things, Willow, that the sort of talk is that Socia's job's one of those under pressure. How do you see this injury affecting both the Angels and then longer term Socia keeping his job?
Look, I think first and foremost, if they play 500 baseball without Trout, that's a good start. They've got some decent guys that can come in, but they've got about 8 guys on the DL. Socia's fault. Has he done the best with what he's had come through without those main guys? I think he's done a pretty good job, considering that every year for the last 4 years, they've lost at least 3 of their top 5 starters. So, look, his job's under pressure because they're not winning, and maybe it's just time for a change, but I don't think that can be reflected on his actual performance, because the performance has been very good with the hand he's been dealt.
Now, in that division, Astros are just runaway, aren't they, at the moment? And 8-2 out of the last 10 as well, so they've even stretched their lead.
When you've got 3 or 4 of the best young players in the game itself, that's going to happen. They're playing very well. Dallas Kershaw's back to his best after having some injuries and so forth last year, although I think he's on the DL, but he is off to a very good start again. They're playing good team baseball, young. Well, they're not as young as they were, obviously, 3 years ago when those guys came through. These young guys are now starting to be mature, hitting their mid-20s and getting into the best years of their baseball life. Towards that late 20s is what they call in your most productive years. So they're capitalising and really going well. They traded well and in the off-season. And they've got a couple of young starters. They've got some great infielders and some very fast, talented hot swinging bat outfielders, and they'll continue to be a force to reckon with.
It's interesting just looking at the wild card race, because really, realistically, there's only six wins between the sides. Every other side is pretty much in the battle, with Red Sox with 28 wins at the moment, Athletics and Royals on 22, but they're the bottom two. It's amazingly close in the American leagues.
It is, but I think the other thing that is that there's no reason to look at the wild card at this part of the year.
Oh, true. Yeah, but it's good to see it's competitive.
It's quite evenly spread. Yeah. The American League is quite evenly spread. Not a lot between it. You look at the National League, and there's a little bit more disparity. But yes, I mean, anything can happen. We've seen teams that have been 25 They're playing very good baseball with a very average lineup. They've probably got one of the best pitchers in the league at the moment, Urban Santana. Those that have listened before, he was my first ever roommate in Pro Bowl, so I have a little bit of a relationship with him, and he's very, very good. After getting down to PEDs last year and missing some time, he's off to one of the best starts that he could imagine, and pitching up to that ability that was there probably 5 or 6 years ago when he was with the Angels.
You talk about...
They never really got to see it.
Yeah. Talk about Trout going down. The other big injury in the National League is Freeman.
Sorry, say that again. I missed that.
Yeah, the other big injury in the National League, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest issue with that is probably that he's not going to be in a healthy position to be traded halfway through this year. No doubt in my mind that the Braves would have been looking to move him. Because they're probably not going to be contenders, unless they see that they're going to be contenders in a few years and try and re-sign him. They'll be looking to move him. And so, you know, depleted or a lineup gone and got a lot of veterans to see if they can have a patchy year and maybe play some 500 baseball and keep some fans in the seat. They've lost their best player. It will be interesting to see what happens at the come the trade deadlines with him.
We mentioned last week that Rockies and Diamondbacks have really had a turnaround this year, and at the moment they're virtually equal with the Dodgers in our West. What do you put it down to, the improvement with both those teams?
The Diamondbacks pitching has just been a lot better than it had been in previous years. Obviously, Greinke was supposed to pitch well last year and decided not to after coming off amazing years with the Dodgers and everything he did with the Royals. Obviously, he had a couple of stints elsewhere. But the Rockies is kind of like an Astros story. They've got a lot of young players that are now experienced. They've been in the big leagues 5, 6 years. And 5, 6 years ago, they only had those three players as standouts. Now they've got a few other players as standouts. They've got 6 or 7 core players, good pitching. They're very good at home. They hit a lot of home runs in their park with the atmosphere and they're off to a flyer. They've got experienced and young talent, Nolan Arenado, DJ LeMahieu at second base, massive second baseman who crushes, Charlie Blackman leading off, stealing bases, hitting 330 or something like that, you know, doing a good job. Or if he's not hitting 330, he's getting on base 3 times a game somehow, some way. And they're a bit like the Astros, got a lot of young talent. Their biggest thing has been pitching, and they seem to have, in the past years, they've had some big-name pitchers go there and struggle. Jimenez and so forth. So look, again, very similar to the Astros, piecing together a lot of middle-aged talent now and seeing the results.
I think we've definitely got to touch on the Nationals Giants all in with Harper.
Fantastic. Harper had every right to do that.
What do you think of the penalties? 4 games to Harper, 6 games to Strickland, when Harper's probably going to lose 40 at-bats or something, or, you know, a fair amount of at-bats versus Strickland's going to throw 3 innings in that sort of game span for a reliever?
Look, I think, first and foremost, for those that don't know, Harper hit 2 bombs off Strickland in the Division League Series 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I'm just trying to think. And so Strickland was getting long-term memory for a hot-headed young reliever who had no right to do what he did. Harper had every right to have a go at him. He probably shouldn't have thrown the helmet through his helmet. Didn't hit him. If hit him, he probably gets 10 games.
He threw his helmet basically out of the stadium, nowhere near the...
the worst helmet toss of all time. He was heading towards home plate to finish up a second base.
There's a lot of people commenting that he should have thrown it with the ear, not the bill. You get more accuracy and things like that. But look, that is one of the things that pitcher versus hitter. There's a whole bunch of stories. Strickland has a weapon in his hand, which is called the ball. Obviously, if Harper retaliates using his helmet, that becomes a weapon as well. Strickland endangers Harper because Harper hit 2 home runs. One of them, he walked up the line. You know, you could say that was he was pimping it a little bit, but it was actually seeing if it was going to be fair or foul because it curled around the foul pole. So Strickland needs to sort out his own mess, and you can see that from the way that his San Francisco teammates responded. His catcher, who is his number one protector on the field, didn't move when Harper was punching him in the head. Strickland did, however, get a couple of punches in. On the penalties, look, I think Harpers will get reduced, and I don't think Strickland will, because the helmet didn't hit him. And Harper will say, well, I have every right to defend myself. But Strickland probably should have got 10. Harper should probably take 6 and sit down and be 4 or 6, whatever. If only 4, I don't think he can go up on their appeal system. So he should take his 4 and just say, be done with it. He's their leading vote getter for the All-Star game. He's off to an MVP season. He should go back to focusing on that and realise that Strickland is a hot-headed believer that's probably going to get a few more balls in his time.
Well, Strickland should definitely just take a chill pill, because I think the Giants won the pennant that year. So
they did. They absolutely won it.
He should have just let it go.
One of the many arguments is that he had no protection from his team, so it's going to cause issues between his teammates, saying, why are you throwing at a guy after 2 years when we won the flag? Harper said it in his thing. I'm pretty sure they won that year. He should be celebrating having his ring on every night when he drives home, not trying to hit me because I hit a couple of home runs off him. Throw a better pitch. You know, big name pitchers, veteran pitchers have all come out and said, if you don't like it, throw a better pitch. So, yeah, a lot of things where Strickland is wrong, and, you know, everyone likes to rag on Harper, but I think he was in the right. He's playing the game probably better. He's a veteran now, even though he's 26 years old, 25 years old. He's now a veteran. He's been there. He's won an MVP. He's having a great year, and people respect him now, and the fans love him. And so he just needs to remember that and probably not throw his helmet next time.
So, mate, we better just finish off on any of the Aussies over there. You've been noticing anything in particular?
Well, Pete Moylan got off to a flyer, had a couple of rough outings, which is back to getting ground ball outs and doing well. Hendricks, I believe, went on the DL. To be honest, but next week I'll have all the stats. But
yep.
And Warwick Suppold has been up and down with the Tigers, had a couple of good outings, couple of bad ones. I think he gave up 3 bombs in one of his outings, but then he had 6 strikeouts and 2 innings the next one. So he's up and down as a bit of a swing man at the moment. But they're going well, the more the merrier. I'm not sure who our next guy is. I don't know if we'll see anyone get there this year that's not already there. But I'll get all the stats from our guys and give you a bit of a spiel next week.
Fantastic. We better let you go, Willow. How's your own shoulder? You move it, can you?
I can. I'm supposed to have started throwing this week, but I've got a moving house and so forth, so I haven't started that. But the physio is very happy. I'm well ahead of schedule.
So what's the prognosis there? How long before you might get a game in?
I should see a mound around Christmas time. I could probably start playing in 3 months, but I won't.
Okay. No, not even.
I should see a mound. I am a lot better than my first surgery. So.
All right.
You're going well. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
That's all right, mate. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks, Willow.
Take care. Enjoy the show. Cheers. Bye.
Yeah, some interesting stuff. We'll keep that tracking along, boys. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Like what we'll do, have a little bit of music, a short break, and then we'll come back with a bit of general baseball news and gossip, and then we'll get into DBA and winter ball after that. Listen to The Ball Game. We'll be back soon.
Hi, it's Warwick Merry from Taking Care of Business. Sign Matters tells the world about you and your business, who you are and where you are. Sign Matters have 20 years experience in the industry, offering complete end-to-end service for all types of businesses and signs, from design to installation, specializing in illuminated and 3D signs, vehicle wraps, custom signage, even your stationery. Signmatters.com.au. Station sponsor.
Jalna is an Australian-owned second-generation family business that makes us very fussy about what we put into every delicious, creamy pot of Jalna yogurt. For 55 years, we've insisted that it's free from artificial sweeteners, preservatives, gelatin, and colouring. In fact, anything unnatural. Only Goulburn Valley milk, pure ingredients, and friendly cultures, pot set in the traditional manner. Simple and pure the way food should be. From our family to yours, Jalna, a little pot of purity, a station sponsor.
Yeah.
and welcome back to the ball game. Look, we've got a bit of baseball Victoria news. Now, yeah. Jack, one of these involves you, so we'll start with that one. You know, again, welcome back to the studio, and it's a good night to pre-record for you. You're not out training or anything?
No, not tonight. Not Wednesdays, Thursdays for me.
Yeah, and what's happened there, of course, is that you got a little phone call saying, oh, look, Baseball Victoria's got some presentations on. Can you come along?
Wasn't even that? No, it was a secret. I wasn't allowed to be told at all. I didn't know what was going on until I actually turned up at the MCG, which is a lovely venue.
Yeah.
So it was actually a really good night.
So you got to go in there.
Yep.
And when you got there, they said...
Well, I was talking to Ash Blair.
$70,
thanks. It was $20 for the Parmigiana.
Well, I was just talking to Ash Blair, and he said, oh, have you checked out the program? You might want to, because you've won something. And I said, what do you mean? The Mariners? And he said, no, you. So you better open up to, I think it was page 6 or something, and then saw all the nominees, and my name was lucky enough to be the winner in such a prestigious group of people that were up for awards. I think John Deeble was there, and Tom Dicker with Fitzroy, and I think Grant Irving might have been one for Moorabbin.
Yeah, you got to mention somewhere there, yeah.
So it was a pretty good year for baseball and for coaches.
Absolutely. So named the 2017 Coach of the Year. What were some of the other awards on then?
Well, we know Ian Gavin got Umpire of the Year.
Yeah, fair
and,
call.
And based on the, I heard you guys talking about last week, he actually has really improved, and yeah. And his person-to-person communication is really, really, what
right
I...
Right up there.
Yeah, definitely way up there.
He actually talks to the players now instead of trying to sort of be...
Yeah, it's definitely not an us and them now. Is that you can have a joke and have a laugh, and I really like that you can approach them and not you don't have to be in their face.
Have a bit of a chat too,
yeah, so definitely.
Yeah,
so I have noticed that a lot this year.
One of the things with that, I think, is that as umpires get more proficient with their balls and strikes, particularly
they relax a bit.
Yeah, they're not in that mode where they've got to be defensive to everybody about missing pitches.
Yep.
And I think that helps that game management and that demeanour. And I think, too, you part of being a good umpire is you've actually got to allow a little bit of banter and a little bit of personality to be shown by the players and just know when, okay, this is starting to maybe get a little bit out of hand, I need to step in here. But don't be sort of jumping on things as soon as they happen. And no, we're right. I mean, Ian's a really, really good umpire now. Yeah, no, he's improved. Well, I've known Ian since he basically started, probably 15 years ago, and probably the last 2 or 3 years has probably been his best years. Because he's relaxed and he's talking to players and he has a bit of a joke. He has a joke about himself sometimes. So to get an umpire to do that just makes the game flow a bit easier because you're not worrying about, is he going to make that big call somewhere? It just happens and goes.
Absolutely. What else happened on that night? Obviously, they made those announcements. Just general chatter about things. Good night out, though.
Yeah, it was a really good night. Run really well. I forget the MC's name who was there, but he was fantastic. And he got Rick and myself, obviously Rick Wills, the president of the charter, Southern Mariners and stuff. We got up there and had a chat about it and sort of endorsed the charter side of it, which I really back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the best team that gets to go places. It's not necessarily the best 18 like the state programs and stuff.
Mm.
So I really enjoy it and really like that pathway now that's set up for the little fellas.
Absolutely. And the teams have on again this year, and one of the sides got into the semi-finals, didn't they, just a couple of weeks ago?
Both the senior league and junior league played in semi.
Fantastic.
And junior league sort of fairly outclassed in the end. I think there were, if you look at their last four games, the pitcher they faced in those games got better each time, which is what you want going into those big games, big matches, which will only help their development, seeing that velocity. But yeah, just a bit outmatched in the hitting and that sort of thing. I think you saw, if you look at the stats, there was something like 50 strikeouts in the last four games. So, I mean, they're swinging the bat. They didn't back down from the challenge, which is what Ben Lau, the coach, and myself and a few of the other coaches along the Mariners have said is don't shy away from the challenge, take it up to them, and they did that. And they walk away being, fourth in the country out of, I think, 16 went away. So I think it's one of the best ever results for a junior league, from our charter especially, or from Victorian charters, I'm not too sure.
Actually, I was talking to Jacob Bald's father on Saturday morning after we did the show here last week, and he said they went from, I think they finished 12th or something the year before, to finish, fourth.
Yes, okay, so it would have been 12th. They didn't qualify out of Geelong last year. This year, they got through. They end up finishing fourth, which I think is fantastic. They get a chance to play in the big game.
Mm.
They got their chance to see Cronulla in the end, and Cronulla I don't know what you would call it. They messed up their semi final. Maybe they played their final beforehand. I thought they were the best team there, but very arrogant, and I didn't like the way they went about it. But you know, they got themselves beat in the semi final, and I think Hills end up winning. So we got to get behind Hills now. They're putting on that Australia
absolutely.
Top.
So they'll go through the same steps that the Mariners did last year, I guess. So
yeah. So Hills Junior League have direct qualification, obviously, to the World Series. Same with Little League, and now Senior League has now got that as well. Last year, my team, the Mariners, went through had to go through the Philippines and didn't get to wear Australia when they went to the World Series. They had to wear Asia Pacific. So now it's direct qualification. So Adelaide Armada in the Senior League, and who won through, now get to wear the Australia.
So has that change come from the success of the Mariners last year, or just a restructure in general?
I assume that would have some part of it, because we did get to the championship game in the end of it. So there has to be some element that maybe we deserve our own pathway now.
Sure.
So definitely.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, fantastic. Well done, Jack.
Yeah, great effort, Jack. I'm glad that it was a good night that they had too.
On the charter system in general, and I hear what you're saying about it's a team rather than the best 18, you know, which is obviously the old or the state model. Is there a danger, though, with that model that some really high-quality kid, because he's in a weak charter, misses out on the opportunity of playing against the best?
There is definitely that sort of element, that danger you're saying. But in saying that, those type of players are always going to have a shot at the 16s and 18s level of the state program. So they're not missing the high-quality talent championship. Yeah. It's I guess, the ethos that I've sort of picked up from some of the communication from Baseball Victoria and stuff like that is it is sort of a participation series, but there are elements that as you go from – obviously the state championships, the national championships to international, the talent does get better and better. So the pathway for the team to face off, but again, scaling it back to the state championships, you're getting guys that might not necessarily have made a state program. You're getting 30 or 40 of those guys that haven't played in a tournament. So you're getting more tournament experience where, you know, state program, if you try out bad, you're cut in 3-4 weeks. If you have a bad tryout, then you're not sort of seen as a look-in. So was this where you kind of get a chance that you might not have had previously?
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, so talk about, well, Willow mentions the term multiple pathways. So this is it. I mean, you can go through, you know, the state groups, or you can go through the charter groups. So,
you can go through both. And then you've got schoolboys on top of that. So
there's a lot of options for people.
Winner championships in obviously this league. So there's a lot of different tournaments that you can be a part of. I believe that this is not a detriment. It's definitely an evolution that we need to sort of get behind. And
well, the charter program basically gets you on a world stage.
Definitely, yeah. Everyone sees the Little League World Series on ESPN.
Doesn't matter. You know, you mightn't be the 15th best player in the state, but you're the 15th best player in that charter, and you're on a world stage.
And you're part of it.
Definitely. At what stage does funding from either Baseball Victoria or Baseball Australia kick in for the charter teams?
Good question. That would be a question for Rick Wills, I think, from a president's side of it. My understanding is that the higher you go, the more help you're going to get. I think the World Series was covered, but I'm not sure whether that was covered by Little League with their distribution or whether that was Baseball Australia. I'm sure there was some element because, you know, we're representing not only our charter, but the state, our country, our region. So there'd be some sort of kickback, obviously, that they're helping out. I'm not sure how it all worked out in the end.
You'd hope there'd be a kickback somewhere, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you definitely, because otherwise it becomes quite an expensive thing to go through.
And that was where, I guess, I was alluding to it, that if you've got a kid who, and you mentioned a number of the pathways, that is involved with a charter group, might be involved in a state junior team, might be involved with schoolboys. It starts to become, if it's all user pay, that starts to become very expensive. And I guess then families have got to make decisions around which one they prioritise for the individual player. But if we get to a certain stage, and I think there should be funding, you know, from Baseball Australia for a lot of these programs. There should be less emphasis on the user pay and far more emphasis on funding from the national body to help out and make sure that kids get all the opportunities to represent either their charter or their state in whatever the tournament is.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure that obviously the state tournament, I know from our point of view, we didn't stay as a team in Geelong because just to try and keep the cost down, because the tournament was right at the back end of the national tournament. So we're just trying to make sure that involvement was there at the start. So if you wanted to participate and you got selected, that you still could without being a financial burden to the family. So we tried to keep the cost down. And then obviously it equates out to, obviously you got to get to Lismore for Senior League or Adelaide for Junior League. And I think Little League's going up pretty soon in a couple of weeks to Lismore for their trip. So I think this is the first time the Southern Mariners have had three go through, I think. Maybe. It would be, because this is only second year of Senior League, so I'm just trying to get my facts right. But yeah, there is definitely. I think as you go further, Rick would be the one to answer the Asia Pacific region, because obviously I didn't get to go to that one. But and then the World Series, I think that's obviously the big show.
Yeah.
So it'd be silly that if you had to pay to get to Bangor, Maine.
They didn't have to pay last week, because Willow was talking about that. But one of the tricky things that happened, because they represent the Asia Pacific, they had to drive halfway around the world to get there. But
yeah, there was going to be some talk whether they'll be able to fly out of Japan, or because the reason for that is
sponsorship, probably.
No, Little League have their they buy something like 500 tickets at the start of the year from an airline, let's say, and then if we come out of Asia Pacific, obviously the central hub would be sort of maybe Japan out of that, like Japan to America. So there was talk that we'd have to go to Japan, which would be the same for Guam or CNMI. That's the hub. So that's where they buy their tickets from. Yeah. So that's the way that they would do budget over there, I assume. So
So hopefully with the change now, if any Aussie teams you get through can fly direct to Maine.
Yeah, and obviously we need to wish Hills luck and Adelaide Armada. Those two are going to represent Australia really, really well. So
great.
It's a huge honour to put the Australian jersey on.
Right. A couple of minutes before we have our break, Rob. DBA reps and things. Next week we're going to talk all about the championships.
Next week we'll have a clearer picture on
about the teams. But we know Blake Cunningham and is it Mark Jones
who are looking after the team and
under 23s. Ben and Danny Webster.
Daniel Webster are looking after the under 23s.
Yep.
But we'll have a clearer picture of what's going on there next week.
Tryouts well underway and heaps of numbers, Ebulf.
Yeah, we'll see if somebody turns up for training. Who knows? From what I've heard, Sunday mornings have been a bit scarce.
No, you just get more hacks for yourself if whoever turns up.
That's it.
That's true. So if you turned up and did the right thing, you got a chance of sneaking into that spot.
Yeah, so I reckon by the middle of next week we should find out what's going on.
And if you are keen, make yourself known and send a message to the coaches and let them know that if you can't make a training, that you're gonna get there and you're keen to participate.
They are working hard to try and get the numbers up there. They've got numbers there, but just a case of getting a few more to get along to make life a bit easier for them.
Yeah, and hopefully Matty Hardy will be in next week and have a chat about that too. Yeah. He certainly involved.
Just briefly?
Yeah.
We touched on it last week about the review coming up for Baseball Victoria.
Yes, have you found out any more?
Yeah, I can tell you now. It's SBP, which stands for Sports Business Partners. Have been appointed.
Are
announced on May the 15th to resolve to commission an independent structural review of Baseball Victoria. Good luck with that.
Let's hope
all
that
I can
works.
Say is it must be a few people a bit shaky about their jobs.
We believe the cleaner's okay.
Oh, the cleaner's okay. Right. He's probably the window cleaner at the Sports Aquatic Centre there. He's probably pretty safe too, because he's not actually involved with Baseball Victoria. Melbourne Baseball Club have announced Andrew Tierney as their new senior coach.
Wow.
He moves across from Blackburn. The umbilical cord's been cut.
At least temporarily.
Down at Moorabbin, Jay Willis has been appointed as the senior coach down there with Kane Bumstead as his assistant.
Yep, good.
That should do pretty good. Jay's been the assistant down there for the last 2 years under Grant Irving. And just to finish off before we go to a break,
there is a rumour too.
I've got a little bit of mail about the Sandringham job. Nothing official, all rumour and innuendo. But this sport loves that.
Yes.
My mail is that John Hussey might be the front runner for that job.
Nice.
So watch this space.
Yeah, well, he's sort of been out of it the last 12, 18 months, hasn't he?
Well, he's been in the Czech Republic playing
yep.
for the last couple of years after he got released from pro ball, and he's been in Prague.
We interviewed him last year just before he left.
And been back a little bit during the during our winter. And during the summer, he hasn't really been involved in Australia, whether he's been touring around Europe or whatever, I'm not sure. But
And there's a whisper that Paul Rutgers might be interested in him as well. Bit of a whisper there.
We'll watch this space.
Watch this space. Do you have one more just before the break, Rob?
Just two quick ones.
Yeah.
Kid playing his first game a couple of Saturdays ago. called Brody Harmanson for filled in for the Frankston Thirds. He's a golfer. Now, if you all know about what a cycle is in the baseball world, that's a
single, double, triple, and home run.
Well,
in the same game, not the same season.
He's gone the home run with the second pitch he's faced in baseball. Then he's hit a triple, then a double, then a single to finish it off.
Time to quit.
He's gone straight to Northern Territory to play a golf championship. So good luck to young Brody there. And
fantastic.
Our old mate Kingsley Collins has managed to put together a book of 70 years of the VPBL from 1938 to 2008.
Sounds great.
It's going to be launched at the winter state winter championships in a couple of weeks' time up at Geelong. There,
we better get Kingsley on at some point. Have a chat about that.
I'm going to try and get a copy of the book if I can, and we'll go through it. And there's some very very interesting things about it. And, but I won't mention what Kingsley has also sent me.
He's not short of opinions. He does a great job with his writing.
He's got some great opinions, Kingsley. Fantastic. So, keep it up the good work, and look forward to reading the book.
Be a very interesting read. Yeah. Very eloquent man.
Very much so.
Writes brilliantly and knows baseball.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a quick break. A couple of words from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk DBA.
Did you know that Bendigo Community Bank supports our local sporting clubs, including the Mornington Peninsula Nepean Football League, the Mornington Peninsula Junior Football League, the Mornington Netball Association, Nepean Netball Association, MPCA Cricket Association, and Ardible PFM. With all the usual banking and financial advice, the Bendigo Community Bank branches in Rye, Dramana and Rosebud are putting people back into banking. A station sponsor.
Hi, I'm Jack, and my dad's Pete from the Mornington and Rosebud Telstra stores, this year's winners of the Telstra Licensee of the Year Award. My dad has been really busy lately, but he and the team have been recognised for their customer service excellence, and you really need to get in store and experience it for yourself. So drop in and see the Telstra Licensee of the Year team at the Telstra store in Mornington or Rosebud.
Or call us on 1300-MY-TELSTRA.
And in the meantime, I'm off to play cricket with Dad.
Hey Jack, bowl it to me!
A station sponsor.
And welcome back to the ball game, DBA, and gee, we're probably up to about round nine, is it? No, round nine in the A grade, and a couple of interesting high scoring games last week. Jack, you played in one of those, and
31 runs scored, I think.
Incredible! What was going on there? Errors.
Not a lot of earned runs.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That sort of matched the error count too, was it?
Yeah, there was a few made. Definitely, the ground was moving. I wouldn't say the ball was, but the ground was.
All right. If you listen to Rob, the big upset was that Dandenong,
the undefeated Dandenong.
The undefeated Dandenong actually won.
That was the upset.
It wasn't a big upset. It was always going to be a close game, but the trick was Dandenong got some runs early courtesy of the long ball. But apart from that, if Frankston learned to hit the ball early, they'll match him. And that's the honest truth. And the score 4-1 probably reflected the whole game. The pitching from both starters was very good. I think Mark Surtees threw 6, I think, of very good innings.
He's a good, honest trucker, isn't he?
And Mitch Bowen threw 5, even though he gave up the 3 long balls, 2 of them to Kane Bumstead and 1 to Nick Thompson. He still got through his 5 innings and 58 pitches and did a fine job and kept him in the game. Unfortunately, Frankston just didn't bat early and paid the bill.
All right. And the other quick results, Wyndham Mornington over Chelt, 4-3, and Berwick, 9-1 over Bond Beach.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, Bond Beach had half their side missing, so it was a bit hard to sort of gauge.
We sort of that was going to be
They've been struggling.
Yeah.
But, look, Berwick...
It was a game Berwick had to
win.
Yep.
And that now gives them a game break over Dingley for a shot at the 4. But at the moment, look, I think at the moment the top 3 spots are...
Starting to stretch a little bit.
Berwick and Dingley... And look, I'll even include Boney over here at this stage. Sort of, they should be jockeying around for that 4 spot if they can get their acts together.
Well, we'll have an indication next week. Let's look at that first game because Frankston playing Bond Beach.
Frankston's playing Boney
at Boney and if Bunyip can remain competitive, then what you said stands true. But they're going to have to tidy up their fielding a little, because that was a bit scratchy last week from what you saw, Jack.
Well, according to Jack, it could be if we can get the land to stay still.
Yes. No, definitely. Bonio swing the bat.
Yeah, they're hitting the ball this year.
They swing the bat and they throw strikes, so you're going to have to hit yourself to win. We were lucky, we were fortunate that we made the most of our errors, but then they counteracted that. And it actually tossed and turned. I think the lead changed about four or five times in that game. So there was challenges mounted, and then, you know, both teams sort of backed it up. So it's really interesting where I see Bonio this year.
Well,
they recruited well, or they've got the couple imports. They definitely just free swing, and if they put the ball in play and this game is made of luck, they will be there come that nine innings.
Bonio, even in the past when they were in the A-grade previously, they were never afraid of hitting the ball.
No, they can hit the ball.
That's one good thing, that they always fell apart or sort of lacked in the pitching department, which sort of let them down. So
who threw? Was it Stewie Patterson?
He relieved, but we got called for light in the eighth.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I've got a question about that. We've got this speed up rule for catches and pitches, but we start at 15 minutes later than we should.
Yep.
And we're not getting through games. I don't understand.
Yeah. Why did you start 15 minutes later?
Well, we're starting at 2:30 this year instead of 2:15.
It used to be 2:15 for many seasons.
And they've got the speed up rule to allow for light, but then we start 15 minutes later. I'm just a little bit unsure.
It's an interesting point, because there's a couple of games that not many have hit the full nine. There's been a few rounds that haven't hit the full nine.
Somebody in DBA house is really cocked up on this one.
We've got half an hour between the twos and ones. I'm not sure that's really needed.
No. I mean, the umps get a break.
And you're trying to get the game in, and it's getting colder and it's getting darker now than it was obviously at the start of the year. But even then, we weren't getting through the games. I'm just a bit wary that
most of the clubs are starting their warm-up about 1 o'clock anyway, so by 2 o'clock they're ready to go. Quarter past, the umpires need a bit of time to go and get changed.
I mean, if someone can tell me the exact reason, if that's the case, if the umpires need longer between games, I'll wear it. But I just think that maybe some clarification as to why. Well, maybe probably, if we have a speed up rule, why don't we just play seven innings? Why don't we just play 2 hours? Why is it keeping it nine? Yeah, July the 15-minute delay.
I probably thought if you start at 2:30, you have the speed up rule, kind of rack yourself a little bit.
Yeah, probably. And I'll cop that. If the umpires need more time, that's fine.
I have been noticing it has been getting darker a lot quicker this year.
And that's the only reason I raise it.
Because I know down at Frank's, and, you know, once the sun goes down behind the trees there,
which is usually about the seventh or eighth inning.
Quarter past three some days at Frankston.
It's almost, Melbourne winner, played 2 hours?
We played 2 hour game, 5 minute rule.
I think Geelong has 2 hour games.
We started at 2:35.
Okay.
There's only 20 minutes between the between the reserve.
So
that finish of the
reserve. So 5 minute rule, so they can complete an inning that started. Is that the idea?
Yeah,
if you
start an innings with more than 5 minutes left, you've got to complete that innings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, of course, the home team's in front.
Yeah.
You must complete that. So the game can actually go over the 2 hour duration. In fact, a lot do go a little bit over the 2 hours. But that 2:35 for 2 hours, we don't get into too much trouble with light.
Yeah.
So that might be something the DBA can look at.
Maybe something they need to consider.
I just raise it because I just don't have the reason in my head that as to why 2:30, we've got a 15-minute that we've just changed.
Yeah.
And then we have a speed-up rule when there's no time limit on the game.
No consultation to the clubs either.
So, Frankston.
Well, they've got to get their act back together again this week and start hitting the ball again.
Is there a special day for Bonio this week, Neil? Is it their past players' day this weekend?
17th. It's 2 weeks. It's
I jumped the gun. I thought this might have been a big game for him to get up and about a bit.
It's a week after the long weekend.
I think Frankston should get up in this one. They should get their hitting back together again. It's going to come down to just application with the bat, to be honest.
I think Frankston...
It's selective what they're going to swing at.
Frankston are going to throw strikes. They're going to score at least 6 runs a game, minimum. It'll be keeping Bonio's bats off pace. If they can change it up and throw the right pitches at the right time, then you'll see a Frankston result. Otherwise, it'll be a slugfest.
Yeah, we're not too sure what's going on. I know this is Vili's last game for a month or so.
Okay.
Burn him.
So if it was me, toast.
Bonio probably need to win this.
They do, if they're going to stay in touch.
They could fall off if, you know, a couple of other games go according to Hoyle, they could fall off the pace a little bit this week. So a really big game for them.
And I think in terms of the year, I mean, how they actually play is going to be the most important part of this. You know, with if they remain competitive, then
they've shown that they can be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get results, so it's good.
Yep. All right, let's look at the next game. It's Bond Beach playing Chelt. and gee, wouldn't be often that you'd say Bond Beach and Cheltenham are the bottom two sides in A grade, would you? Over the years, we know where Bond Beach has been recently. Cheltenham struggling a little, just missed out against Pirates last week. What have you seen either or both of these sides, Jack?
Seen both, and I don't think the results or the statistics and the standings really justify both lineups.
Yep.
Bond Beach are there, as Buff said last week, they're there for games. It's whether they can close it, but they're not that far off. It's what have they scored? 24, given up 99. That's not a reflection of how they play the game. That's two or three bad innings a game, and they're giving up
I've
seven.
I've seen Bond Beach a few times this year, and you know, for the first four or five innings, they are more than competitive. You know, they're keeping sides down to one, two, three, four runs and getting one or two themselves. It's just that those later innings,
I think
the floodgates sort of open.
When we played them, there was probably maybe three plays that went our way that really turned the momentum on ours. I think, you know, a drop catch or something or a pass ball that really opens it up to a 2-3 run inning rather than a 1-2 inning. Sort of puts it out of, like, maybe it's mental. I'm not too sure where they're at. They definitely have a lineup that can score runs. You just name them. Jim Crow, John Hulse, Mitch Sheldon Collins is there as well. Like, there are some guys there that are not old and they're not young. They're there. They're competitive.
Even old man Fresh is, you know, getting good contact on the ball. So
if they take this year and build, and maybe they look at, I think they're missing two bats, two solid bats
in
the lineup.
Two bats and another chucker, I think. To be honest.
Even a relief guy. I think Bucci's not quite there in terms of his arm. I'm not too sure there, but I've heard that he might be a little bit sore.
Okay.
So if he's fully healthy, you know, there's a relatively good starter.
Young Halsey seems to give him, you know, pretty good starts for three, four innings, but that's where it sort of starts to fall down after that for him. And if they can find another arm, good.
And Chelt, your take on them this year?
They're right there. From the results, they're, you know, the five losses, but that's not where they should be either. It's just, The such as the evenness of this competition that results are going to swing either way, and it's going to dictate the whole eight rather than four. You know, it's that close of a year. I find it's at the moment you see Dandenong on top because they've deserved to be there. They've got the right talent and they're putting the results that they need to. But the rest of from two to seven at the minute, you know, it's not a lot splitting the results for those games. So you're going to find that, you know, a result this week, but I think particularly between us and Berwick is really
important.
It's really important for the whole, absolutely, you know, the whole eight rather than just that third and fourth or fourth and fifth spot.
All right, so let's move now to Mornington playing Dandenong, and they are the standout side at the moment. But this would be interesting to see.
This is game of the round for
Mornington. It is how they challenge, because if they're, you know, every year we've always said about Mornington, they've knocked every side off at some stage, but then lost one that they shouldn't have. And so there's always a chance against Dandenong if they sort of click on that day.
Yeah, well, Mornington, you know, they've sort of been threatening and promising for the last couple of years to sort of really put a stamp somewhere. They've got a chance now to sort of really do it. You know, they put themselves in that top bracket now of just on wins and losses and the ability to play. But there's some games that sort of let them down, and
we got to learn to win.
Even if they lose this game, you know, if they lose this game, you know, 4-2 or 3-1 or something, it sort of shows that they can compete.
Mm.
And to me, that's, you know, whether they win or lose, it's how they go about it and get it done.
Yep.
Well, I'm right behind the Pirates in this game.
Loss. Yeah,
I've got an upset on this
you
one.
You think
I reckon.
Chance?
Yeah, but I just don't think Dandenong. You can't win them all, and if you win them all.
That's not always good.
You just never know what can happen in finals. Some, you know, things come into the year, in between the years. But I just feel that sometimes a timely loss might propel Dandenong to further heights. But I just feel Mornington this year, as Buff saying, that they're right there in games. But for the last couple of years, they've sort of been learning to get that winning culture. Whereas this year, I think if they don't make finals, it's going to be a bust. You know, they've put Jay in there, and Jay's got maybe got some inside knowledge on these Danny boys that maybe he didn't have in the previous years. So maybe there might be a bit of that. Depends how lefty came from there last year. Maybe he gets a start or Haley. I'm not too sure where they're at. But
I think for Mornington to win, they got to quell the Dandy big bats.
Oh, 100%. Like Dandenong are solid 1-9. They've got the roster.
What hurt, Frankson last week. You know, Bumstead putting two over. Nick Thompson putting one over. But the rest of the pitching. kept everybody else quiet. But it was just those big loud hits early in the game was the difference at the end of the day.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel that Dandenong are a momentum club. If they get up early, they'll stay up and be on them. So if Mornington can be at a 2-2 after four and put pressure on them, you never know what can happen. Yeah. But, you know, Dandenong at the moment are really setting the pace in terms of where we need to, where everyone else needs to be at to compete.
All right, and the final game is Berwick and Dingley, and this is also a cracker, isn't it? Because it could be, I mean, you're a game behind them, but if Dingley have a win over Berwick, might just about sneak into fourth spot here. It's a very, really interesting game.
Yeah, well, we haven't faced Berwick yet. We've played everyone else and,
yep.
Yeah, and Bonio twice, so it's a bit weird on the scheduling. I thought you'd play everyone once before you started to get around.
This is sort of like the round eight that should have been.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't.
But I think that's because they started the season that one game early.
Yep, that makes more sense.
Mm. And then they sort of just to bring it all back in a line.
And
again,
some of the Sunday games have had to juggle a bit too. Yeah.
Well, Berwick at the minute.
In fact, the Mornington, we should mention Cheltenham Mornington game is on a Sunday.
Last week.
That was last week, sorry. Yeah, I'll ignore that.
There we go.
And that bloke from Dingley gets into me, he's right again.
I think, this is a game Dingley's got to win. Because it's one of those, it's almost like a 4-point game. Berwick wins, then you got that gap. And as the season goes on, that gap can become very, very hard to try and pull back together. Yeah. It's the same with...
you don't go chasing.
It's the same with Boney.
Last few games. Yeah.
As you start, the further you start to fall off, the harder it is to try. Again, you start relying on results and you're sweating on too much other things. I think Dingley wins this one, it stays in the hunt.
But you mentioned, Jack, that the Dandenong Mornington game was the match of the round from your perspective, and certainly, probably standard wise, that's the case. But this is the key game of the round because all of a sudden, if Berwick win this, they put a 2-game buffer, assuming that the form line goes according to Hoyle with the Frankston Boneo game, there could be a 2-game break then between fourth and fifth. Likewise, Dingley winning there, you're talking about two sides being equal in fourth spot. So yeah, this is on paper the most important game of the round.
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't important. I'm sitting there as the coach going, we definitely need to put in a good result. Yeah. We've had a few unlucky results. Obviously, the first round we got done. I think everyone got done by the rain. We had a bit of momentum in that game, but then we've come up against Cheltenham where no one else got rained off, but we got 20 minutes of hard rain when we'd scored 4 or 5 runs up and then it gets reverted back to a draw. So, like, we're in all the games.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the Frankston game, we got beat 11-1 or something, and we're a young side. I think our average age in the first round was 17.8 or something.
That was probably one of the only times Frankston actually got their bats going together.
Yeah, and
they showed what they could do when they get the bats going early.
We've definitely got a good understanding of where we're at, and we're putting. Oh, I'm putting a lot of faith in our kids to perform, and I'm not going to shy away from that. We've got kids that are in the Aces Academy who are under pitch counts, so I'm not working directly with Shanners, but they've obviously got a plan for some of our kids, and I've got to work with that. So guys like Boydie and Tim Lane, and I've got Will Tucker who's 15 years old, and I put him at shortstop just to get his toe wet and just see where he'll land. Because injuries happen, and I need him to perform if something happens down the track. So I've definitely put a lot of faith in the kids this year.
I've always said all along, the way the structure of baseball is nowadays, with summer being your main season, winter baseball is a perfect, sort of like a breeding ground. We can sort of get young kids in and get games into them and let them see how they go in the summer then.
Yeah, and this will be the round. This will be the game for us, obviously. Now, after this week, everyone will face everyone once, so we'll know where everyone else sits.
You've seen everybody, you know what it's all going.
And we can reassess after that.
Absolutely. But have a short break, and we'll come back and look at what Winterball is doing this week.
So 98.7 The Locker Room covers all sports from all over the peninsula. Every Saturday morning from 10:30 till 12, find out what's happening locally from your sports station, RPPFM. 98.7 The Locker Room.
This is Manny Hendricks from the Western Port Steelers. I recently joined the Peninsula Bobcats as ambassador to promote basketball across the peninsula. The main focus for the Peninsula Bobcats is making sure that basketball is exciting and fun again. If you want to have fun with your friends or simply have fun with the game of basketball, come be a part of the Peninsula Bobcats family. were across all four associations on the peninsula. Learn to play basketball, have great fun. To register, go to bobcats.com.au and go Bobcats.
And welcome back to the ball game. We're going to look at, well, it's round eight, isn't
round
it?
Round eight.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a week behind the DBA in that regard. Let's start off by looking at Doncaster playing North Borwen, and they're seventh and eighth at the moment, and you wouldn't want to lose that one, would you? If North Borwen are a game out of fourth spot at the moment,
on paper, and don't lose contact. You know, North Borwen, even though they're in seventh position, are only a game out of fourth spot, although they've got a putrid percentage, which doesn't help them. They've got to win this game to stay in touch. I mean, the top seven are all very even.
Yep.
When you look at the way the results have been going, and teams in the four are beating each other, and teams just outside the four are knocking off teams in the four and things like that. So that sort of top seven, the games can go any way. So North Borwen really on paper or on the field need to win it for their season, and on paper they're the stronger side, and I actually think they'll account for Doncaster comfortably.
Forest Hill and Ringwood, and Forest Hill, a great win last week. As soon as they got rid of their coach
sacked
from
the coach
last
and
year.
And sacked the coach, and they started winning some games.
And they've knocked off third place Watsonian, slipped into four. So
yeah,
well done.
The Eagles have won their last four on the trot, and they've accounted for GMBC, Heathmont and Watsonia. In three of those wins.
Three very good
wins. They're a very young team. You've got Ken O'Malley, the veteran of the side, who's sort of pushing 40 but still hitting the ball like he's a 24-year-old. And then the next oldest in the side's 23. Couple of 23-year-olds, a 20-year-old, and the rest are teenagers. So same as you, Jack. A lot of kids that the club's invested time in the past couple of years. Bryce Taylor, young player who spent 4 years at college, pitcher, made a massive difference. He's given quality starts every time he's gone out there, and really kept us in games. The young bats are swinging well. Another big test this week against Ringwood.
Yeah,
who've got a quality side. They dropped their game last week to Research 2-0. Obviously, 2-0 is a high quality game. So this is another one. You know, the Forest Hill boys will go into this full of confidence.
They must have a good pitching, Ringwood.
Andrew Jones, again, another guy came through the state junior system, left-hander, had 4 years at college. When he was coming through as a junior and also obviously as a young player playing for Upway, he was as good a quality young pitching talent as there was in the country. And he's certainly been carrying the pitching for them. And so it'll be a big test for Forest Hill this week. But
do you think it could be another scalp on the or another notch on the gun, you might say?
Look, for Forest Hill, well, it'd be a huge one if they got it,
wouldn't
they?
Start nil all.
That's right. Yeah.
That's it.
And all of a sudden people start to look and say, hang on, look at this.
The boys would be confident if they play at their best that they'll be competitive and be right in the game. And that's all you want. Some days, you do that, you win. Some days you lose.
All right, the next one is GMBC, who are in sixth position, and they're sort of, a game out of the four as well. And they play Watsonia, who are sitting in third place.
This is going to be a really, really important game. GMBC, just outside the four, but for them, they've got a really good percentage. They've got third best percentage in the league. So... Mm. They rely on a combination of excellent pitching, Russell Spear and Andy Mann, as good as you're going to see going around, plus very good offense, good defense. So, they've got the complete package there. They've played good sides and lost a couple of close games in those. Watsonia, again, really, really strong side. The former Sano brothers doing the bulk of the pitching, and you've got guys like Adam Burton, Jared Cruz, who's back after having played 3 years at Pro Ball. So they've got a good side. This will be a cracker. I'll go for Monty, just with no confidence.
Right, Heathmont playing Essendon. When you hear those words, you think, "Oh, that's interesting." But Heathmont sitting on top, and Essendon are on the bottom, and no points at this stage.
Yeah, look, Essendon are struggling a bit. Yeah. They've lost some players, which is has made it difficult for them. Certainly nowhere near the lineup that they had last year, and obviously that's reflected in their win loss. Heathmont getting quality starts from either Sam Gibbons or Matt Wilson, whoever they wheel out, and then they've got that absolutely potent offense that 1-9 they can hit you out. So I think Heathmont would win this pretty comfortably.
How many of the Essendon summer ball players, because we know what a great how well they've gone over the years, have sort of farmed themselves out to other teams in
not,
the winter.
Not that many that have farmed themselves out. There's a significant percentage just don't play.
Yeah.
Especially the
have
older
a break
guys.
In the winter. Yep.
Yeah, so the older guys don't play. There are some.
Yep.
A percentage play at research.
Okay.
So, but in the main, a lot of their key players don't play summer, yeah.
All right.
Don't play winter, I should say.
Yeah. So the final game I want to look at is Research and Greensboro. And Research, fifth. Equal on points in fourth position, and Greensboro down second last, just 1.5 wins at this stage.
Look, Greensboro are a better side than that. They've got reasonable pitching depth. Liam Devine, who pitched a lot of innings for Melbourne during the summer, actually started game three of the grand final series. Hayden Godbold, Jason Blavis. So really good, experienced arms. They've got some good power bats in Blavis and Timmy Sullivan and guys like that. So they're a better side than what their position on the ladder dictates. I think Research will get the job done, but, yeah, don't write off Greensboro. Proud club, wouldn't like where they are sitting on the ladder. And, if there was going to be an upset this week, that could be the game.
All right. Jack, thanks for joining us. You'll be in as often as you can on these Wednesdays. Well, we know it's Saturday morning when you're listening, but we're going to pre-record Wednesdays. We will do some live on Saturday morning, I think, Rob, don't we? That's the plan a bit,
people.
But good luck with everybody. Enjoy it. And
enjoy
next week,
and have fun.
Next week we'll be talking about the interleague
sides,
and the rep teams. Absolutely. So thanks for joining.